Welcome back to the Telosa Tech Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. My angle was shot with a green 24-inch iMac, the best Apple product of all time. How are you guys today?
Better than you, apparently, because you're probably crying inside a little bit every time you look at me.
Very much.
At least we get the double, triple chin action. So I got one chin, two chins, and then on the screen that you're looking at me on, I have a big chin too. So got all the chins going on.
Yeah.
Perfect. Uh-huh. How are you, Randy?
Indeed.
Good morning. Hello. We tried doing a little experiment right now, but that...
What'd we do?
The pair of the Beats and the Beats Bud thing, and this thing didn't work, you guys said, so there's already a bad first... You only get one first impression, and that was not well.
You switched to the microphone briefly, and then I believe you said that it was only one bud, not both.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. What are we talking about?
The Beats Bud, the studio buds.
So Randy got the Beats studio buds.
Randy.
I prefer the term Beats Buds. I wish they would have called them that.
I'm the Beats Buds. Yeah, I'm not going to say Beats Studio Buds. Beats Studio Buds, AirPods Pro. Yeah, no, too many syllables.
Beats Buds.
Sure.
I like that name.
Beats Buds. I tried doing that right now, and so you guys can have a live first impression of it. And I guess it kind of worked, and it was not well. And it wasn't going to both channels anyway. So I was like, "Yep, all right, that's not gonna work." So I put it away. But I've had these things for about 3 minutes now, and I have some thoughts.
I'm very curious because I was fascinated by these headphones, and I want to know an audiophile's perspective of how they sound.
Okay, so I will give you audiophile's perspective as well as user experience, because they're not one and the same. And to be honest with you, I used them all night last night after I got off the stream. I did an unboxing and stuff like that, and then first impressions. Then I was just rocking them the whole time, and I think I got all the information I need, so I don't really need to, this can be my podcast version of the review. I know everything I need to know about these things, with the exception of maybe one last thing, but it doesn't matter. For $150, I'll say right out of the bat, because this was the most frequent question I was getting in the stream. For $150, if you're in the market for wireless headphones and you don't know if I should get the AirPods or the Beats, I would say get the Beats.
The regular?
The
Broke Pods AirPods?
Broke Pods AirPods. Yes.
I thought he was going to say, for $150.
Get.
You should get AirPods Max.
You should get AirPods Max.
If you get an AirPods Max for $150, I would recommend that.
Yeah, me too.
The Beats Studio Buds are, plural. They are, how do you guys say it? Best price per dollar value.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it.
This is your, not only your cheapest entry point into wireless earbuds, but they're not bad. Let's talk about the pros, because I'm gonna do it Drew style, where I say the good and then I say the bad. Okay. And then I'll tell you if you should get them.
I do that
not.
When it's a bad product, though.
Oh, okay. It's not a bad product. That's the thing.
Okay.
But there's more pros than cons, but the cons are very apparent. So,
okay.
Pros. Best snug fit in my ears. Not even a competition. It went in, and no matter what I did, I was jumping around. It didn't lose.
So you're telling
what
me
I've noticed,
stayed in. It went in and it stayed in the whole time.
The whole time when I wear AirPods Pro and I do any what you'll notice when people say it's falling out of the ears, it's because of your jaw movement. So you're doing things like this and it's moving the ear canal just a little bit, and it's enough that it loses its socket a bit where it starts to follow loose. So
yep.
As you both are trying it,
it works. It happened.
Yeah, that's what's happening, because you're moving your jaw talking. Because I noticed it's loosest when I'm eating, and and then I just feel it start to slowly slip out every single time, and I'm like, oh, that's aggravating. So with the Beats, it's not that. It's a very tight, snug fit, and there's no bleed through. At all.
Okay.
I asked in the stream, and I put it right up like this. Sorry. I didn't know I was going to hit the mic. So I went up like this, And I was playing one of my songs at max volume on Apple Music. And I was like, all right, can you hear that? Everyone was like, no, nothing. I did the same song with AirPods Pro. And they're like, yes, I can hear it. So there's bleed.
Really?
Through.
They could hear the AirPods.
They could hear AirPods.
That's interesting.
Pro yep. or regular?
I everything besides pricing that I was comparing to AirPods to, because somebody asked me, everything I'm comparing it to is AirPods Pro.
Okay.
Design.
Nice.
Because this feels like it's one of these two. And mm-hmm. even though this is $100 more, we'll get to AirPods Pro in a second. But so price wise, you want to compare it to AirPods 2. But AirPods 2 and this, not in the same, I would say get this. This has more functionality with ANC and transparency, and it's a snug, it's a tighter fit. It's more stylish. It has the latest and greatest, so to say. And if you're buying a Beats product, there's a certain level of aesthetic that you're also buying into, and these are more stylish. I know it's subjective, but I'm from my perspective more stylish than AirPods with the white stems. These are more stylish than AirPods Pro because they come in different colors. It sits right in the ear. There are negatives to that, as you guys just noticed that the mic was so far away that it sounded terrible. But that's expected with wireless headphones. Anyway, no bleed through. So that's important to me.
Mm-hmm. That's a win. Yeah,
you're getting all information is going straight into the ear, and it's a snug fit. Tactile buttons with the only part that's not matte or satin is the where the logo is. You click it, and it's a satisfying click. Like, listen to this.
I feel like it's really in my ear.
Yeah, it's a hearty click, and I like that. It's better than the tap to answer or whatever. But I do like the pinch function for AirPods Pro too. That's a cool thing. If you have a stem, I like that that's integrated. But the clicking button, you know you're not missing. It's gratifying. Like, nice. It's a good click. So. Mm-hmm. Sound, I give it 7 out of 10. Okay. In comparison to AirPods Pro, I give it an 8 out of 10. If we are, and I'm coming from an audiophile perspective, it's the context is, you know what you're buying into with a wireless Bluetooth headphone. 7 out of 10. You're not gonna hate it, and it's 7 out of 10 because it's not leaking through. It's I did an immediate side by side comparison between the two. It is noticeable, but you have to know what you're looking for it to be noticeable. If you are just a consumer who wants to listen to music or audiobooks or podcasts like Talos of Tech Podcast, then these things are going to be perfect still. What I've noticed about the EQ with the frequency, it really made unlike Beats, I wasn't getting much bass. I was getting a fuller sound with the AirPods Pro. And that was interesting to me because Beats have always been notoriously known for its bass. Yeah. I'm not getting the bass the same way. And the high end felt a little cut off too. What was really standing out was vocals. So I was listening to a variety of artists from different genres. I was listening to my own stuff. I was listening to a podcast, and I was listening to YouTube. And vocals really stand out on Beats, which
good.
It's not a bad thing. I like that for $150. Like it's good stuff. This is in that price range. This is the best that you can get. Actually, you know what? I even wrote notes. Let me just check my notes because I was gonna make a tweet about it, and then I stopped. I was like, I'd rather say it on the podcast. So I drafted the tweet.
It's exclusive.
Better fit AirPods Pro, more stylish with color and design. No bleed through sound. I gave it a 7 out of 10. Okay, the bad. It is. I like the satin, like almost matte finish that we have here. as opposed to the glossy. It's a aesthetic design that I prefer. Mm-hmm. And I like the satisfying. We joked about the hinge and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's a good hinge.
Yeah.
It's
good.
It's a good hinge. With mm-hmm. that, noticeably compromised quality. Mm. Specifically,
it just feels cheaper.
Yes. I'll give you an example right here. Okay. Listen to this. Okay? Listen to this. Hollow.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So it feels kind of empty.
No, it feels like this feels fully dense. Like if I was to cut the plastic open on the hinge right here, I feel like it would just be a solid block of plastic. Whereas this, I was watching it, it looked like it was pairing to the Mac. It feels like if I cut this open, it's just going to be hollow. Mm. Not hollow, but just lighter. And weight, Beats is lighter. So
okay.
The hinge itself, not a problem, but the lid is mm-hmm. Very. It's light. When you guys grab your AirPods Pro, okay.
Got it.
Oh, hang on. You guys ended up not going in my headphones after all. How did that happen? Give me a second.
He's been monologuing so long that he didn't realize he couldn't hear us.
Ew. Hang on a second.
Dang, automatic pairing.
I know.
I hate. Pro. No automatic.
that is a pro.
I see that as an advantage of Beats. Thank you.
There we go. Okay. So grab your AirPods case.
Follow along at home, kids.
Follow
for
along.
Those who have your AirPods case.
Yeah. Now, when you open it, grab. I'm so scared it's going to pair to whatever. As long as you guys can hear me, just grab it by the lid. Okay. There's weight to it. You mm-hmm. you feel confident. Everything right there is still staying, and it's good, right?
Yeah.
So I'm holding by the lid.
Yeah.
And dangling
okay.
the rest.
Now, when I do this, it feels instantly bottom heavy. It's going to break off.
Mm.
Ooh.
That's the best way I can. Like, it's not going to do it. That's what it feels. And that's the best way I can describe that the lid is more secure on the Pro. So,
okay.
The hinge, not a problem with the hinge, but better hinge mechanism on the Pro. Everything with quality is better on the Pro. That's the theme of. Now we're talking about the bad. So you get a satisfied snapping lid, shaking it, nothing's going to come out. All that's fine. But I think this would break first in a situation over AirPods Pro. We use Lightning and USB as Apple users. Those are our two ports.
Pretty much, yeah.
The trade-off that we do with Lightning is we can most of the time substitute Lightning for inductive charging, with the exception of wireless keyboard, mouse, or trackpad.
Yep.
Fair?
Yeah.
Having USB-C on Beats is so convenient because everything outside of Apple, not even by... like cognitive choice, me doing it, it's just that's where it's at, uses mm-hmm. USB-C. My Nintendo Switch controller is USB-C. My Nintendo Switch charges USB-C. The Mac, the iPad, virtually everything else, with the exception of like this camera, the Sony is micro, whatever, but I have something that's constantly feeding battery anyway, so that doesn't matter. But if that's the only other thing that I use that would require a different type of charging port, everything else is Lightning. So you have AirPods Pro, you have your wireless accessories, the Apple TV remote, which I bought between last time and then.
Oh, wow.
So
he's got it.
cool. We'll talk about, I'll give a quick, this is a very quick review. Short version, love it, get it, everything about it, yes. but having USB-C on Beats is phenomenal. I love that, and I just don't understand why we don't have USB. I do understand why we don't have it, but I wish that
we... I still don't.
because Apple's Apple. But I also bought...
Apple likes C. They use it. They're bringing it to more things,
they,
too.
They help build it.
Yeah, they help design it. So, they endorsed it probably the hardest with the 12-inch MacBook.
Absolutely.
And then they brought it to Pro iPads. Now it's on the iPad Air.
Yeah.
It's on all the Macs. 24-inch iMac is, you know, basically all in on C.
Still not good enough.
But not good enough for the iPhone, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's stupid.
And another thing, Drew, I didn't tell you guys this, but when I surveyed both of you guys a while ago, this was before I even moved, I said, which one should I get with my gift card? I got the MagSafe Duo.
Ooh. Okay.
Yay.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's on my nightstand, and I will say, like, for no air power, that is my favorite product of last year. That's my favorite product. Yeah, that's my favorite 2020 product. That is wow.
There wasn't
cool
much
product
to look forward to in 2020, but
yeah. I mean, I love the
Magic Keyboard
it's
case.
Just nice to win one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just nice to win one. Although MagSafe Duo is, to tie it back into Type-C, it's one thing away from being perfect.
Yep. I'm going somewhere with this.
Yeah, all this week I've been traveling and I stayed in a bunch of different houses along the way, and having MagSafe Duo was super duper helpful, but the fact that it was not Type-C makes me have to carry around another brick.
If we had Type-C MagSafe Duo, I would never need a Lightning for anything ever again, with the exception mouse and keyboard. But that's most people would not need that. And my compromise is that I still have to use Lightning for now wireless charging, so my iPhone, and putting AirPods Pro on the MagSafe, I think I took for granted before, but now that I forced the Lightning cable, my only Lightning cable, to go away, so now the MagSafe Duo is the only thing holding a Lightning cable. I don't know what I'm going to do with my mouse and keyboard when that time comes. I'll figure it out. But this doing wireless charging is more convenient, I would say. I love the idea of just connecting and wire and hard cable charging your AirPods or any headphone for that matter like this. And if there's any way to do it, 10 out of 10 USB-C. I love that because I have USB-C cables all over the house and I could just plug this in. So I'm not lacking in anything with not having wireless charging on this. So it's not a good thing or a bad thing, because the convenience of USB-C makes that a good thing. Wireless charging, though, using MagSafe Duo as my primary charger. And I gave my wife my old MagSafe, so now she's using it for her phone.
Nice.
We most of the time use wireless charging. I use it for my Tesla. I use it for everything else. But having it for AirPods Pro was a convenience that I kind of took for granted. So it's good and bad. But sound. AirPods Pro in every sector has better technology.
Okay.
Same company, not the same tech. And I'm not talking about the H1. If it was intentional...
Maybe it is the H1. Could be computational audio that makes the difference.
If they are purposely compromising the quality of the tech in Beats Studio Buds to sell AirPods Pro, it's a jerk move, but it will work, and I would have to recommend AirPods Pro. The noise cancellation, 10 out of 10 better on AirPods Pro. Transparency, 10 out of 10 AirPods Pro. I took for granted, and I actually didn't realize how good AirPods Pro transparency and ANC was, and so I did an immediate side-by-side. I did not do that with when I was reviewing the Sonys over the holiday season. Nick and I had that and the AirPods Max, and AirPods Max just blows everything out of the water. That is half a grand put towards the best you could throw, but half a grand makes me say I can't recommend it, but that is the best of the best. Now, if we're going more in a price range of 250, a quarter grand, to 150. The extra $100, if you want good transparency where it's you forget you're wearing headphones, AirPods Pro. The transparency on this made my voice tinny. It sounded like, okay, so I'm trying it out right now, and this is what it sounds like. And it was noticeable. ANC had this weird, almost humming. That was like, the whole time. The whole time. Almost like a...
activated. Like,
it's like the almost like a hiss. Like, it wasn't calibrated correctly. This, instant, like, I could not hear my voice at all. I could always hear the vibrations in my throat when I had ANC turned on. I was like, okay, I'm talking. I can hear myself, but it just sounds like there's no bass in my throat. And that was what that was the best way I can describe. It cut out the bass, but then gave me a humming. Transparency, just everything just sounded like shh the whole time. There was a very apparent hissing where transparency on AirPods Pro, it's like you're not wearing the darn thing. If I could have the fit factor of Beats on this, this would be the best product out of everything. The form is what's killing me on these things. It just doesn't sit well. This has such a tight fit. But I have a theory, and I was wearing it all evening, all night last night. I think it might fit too good in the ear, because when I take it out, I have like this warm, almost like blood's rushing to my ear, because I'm getting air and like a breath, so to say, letting my ear canal breathe feels so good. It's like, oh, these fit almost too good.
It's a tight seal. It's a so it very closes tight seal. Off all air.
It feels so good to get some air in there once you take it off. But with that, they won't fall out. This is the best fitting one for me. So if you experience the same problem, anybody listening to this, if you guys experience the same problem about AirPods falling out of your ear, then the Beats is going to be a better fit. If some people told me, like, I don't have that problem, then there's nothing really to look forward to on this factor here. The technology is better. Comparing sound, I said 7 out of 10 for the Beats Buds. AirPods Pro sound, a high 8 out of 10 is my, because I never gave a review of how good they sound. It's like, yeah, they're good. AirPods Max is like a high 9, almost a perfect score. There's nothing that beats it yet, and to me, I never give anything 10 out of 10 because it's like, it could always be beaten by something. But sure. AirPods Max is like a 9.5. It's the highest I can rate something, and this is a high 8. This is right there, and this is a decent 7. So
okay,
but the trade off is $100. So now with price. If 150 is your price range, which I think is a fantastic price range for headphones, this would beat any Sony's, any Google, any other competition that has their version of it. This would beat it. Just on aesthetic and form fitting alone, this would beat it. I don't remember what the price. Trade-off is wireless charging. USB-C already puts it up there with everything else as well. This is the perfect bridge between Apple and Android, or Apple and anything else. Coming from Apple, having this as your segue department of like, hey, here's an Apple product that we make for everybody. This is a very good device. And if you like audio, you like music, and you like anything that has to do with headphones, AirPods Pro would be, once you try this and you try AirPods Pro, you're going to want the AirPods Pro. If you just want something that works around the house, then this is good. Phone calls suck. Pairing sucks because it's not that automatic one, but I hate the automatic one personally.
What,
but some
what do you
people's
mean
like,
by automatic? Is it like you have to push the little button till it is in pairing mode, open it up?
I had to do that for the Mac right now.
Okay.
So it's like any other pair of Bluetooth headphones. You just got to hold the pairing button and then go to Bluetooth settings. But it won't support the automatic switching that Randy hates, which means like if you're on your phone using it and then you start using your Mac, it automatically switches to the Mac. It won't do that. And that's I'm good. Fine with that personally because I've always felt like it wasn't understanding what I wanted in the first place.
Absolutely.
But it sounds to me, if I can summarize your review, it's that they're worth it over regular AirPods, but not worth it over AirPods Pro.
If the stipulation is tech, the tech alone is better. But if you're looking for sound, you're not going to notice it. I notice the difference. I promise both of you guys won't notice it.
Okay.
It's and you guys, I think using you guys as my sample rate, you represent most people. So in that sense, your feedback is more valuable than mine, because you could listen it from a consumer's point of view. Do you think
we'd notice the transparency mode differences?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. What you guys love about your AirPods, what I love about them too, are unmatched, only to that of AirPods Max.
Mm-hmm.
You will notice. Which sucked. Yeah. Well, you had a very crappy experience, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even besides, there was a few days where it was working fine, but like, just the fact that these I can drop on MagSafe and AirPods Max don't do anything wirelessly.
Reviewing these has actually given me a new appreciation for AirPods Pro a lot. It actually reignited a certain passion that I have about this that I took for granted. My trade-off for this, which will always stand, is that the form fitting is just not there. If we want to be nitpicky and more shallow about it, aesthetically, I don't like it. I don't like the gloss. I don't like the white. I don't like the stem. Mm. This has all the aesthetics that I love. Mm. But the tech sucks.
Yeah, I think I'm in that boat too. I've wanted black AirPods ever since they announced them. Ever since 2016, I was like, just give me a black pair. Or even a red pair
would
be cool.
This satin, like, it doesn't look the same because it's going to be compressed with, but I promise, just the gloss, not the glossing, but the grip of it. I was reading that some people said that this is more slippery. I disagree. I don't think it's one over the other, but just holding them in your hand, you have a firmer, tighter grip. One more trade-off, it's also minor, but since we're nitpicking in this moment, is if you can see, AirPods Pro is smaller than Beats by just a little bit. Okay. Just by a little bit. So you could see it bulging on the sides a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so there's wasted space here. But this pill shape thing, which I feel like is a Beats design. This is an aesthetic, this pill thing.
Sure.
Their cases came like this, I remember seeing, for especially the studio. So this feels intentional, and they could have made it the same size as the AirPods Pro, but they want to
not
give you...
Not as iconic.
Yeah, it's not iconic. This feels iconic. And when I put it in my pocket yesterday when I was walking around, I was like, it's light. You don't notice it. So it gives you all the same benefits of having this in your pocket. I fear this scratches up easier because of the glossiness of it. But this is technically bigger and wider, but not noticeable. The thinness and everything about it is bigger. But it's not
definitely an improvement over the Powerbeats Pro case,
dude,
which was a gargantuan.
Yes.
That thing was terrible. I was like, I loved the buds themselves, but the case ruined
the whole product. Forget Powerbeats as a whole. Anybody who's in that, good point, Drew. Anybody who has Beats anything, ditch them. Get this. That's so true. 100%. Cheaper and better. And I have not tested it, and it's raining outside, so this is one of the things I was going to go outside and try. But this is water resistant, more so than AirPods Pro, so I wanted to give that a go. I offered Brittany went to the gym last night, and I said, hey, do you want to take this with you to work out? And she paused, and she thought about it for a second, and then she was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. But I told her, I want to see how it works for working out. But
I bet they're good if they're a solid fit.
Dude, they are so comfortable in the sense of the solid fit, and... Because I tried the Power Beats, I completely forgot about it. 10 out of 10, get this over any other Beats thing that anybody has. I have some.
Are they still selling Power Beats?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I was at Apple Store when I bought the Apple remote, the Siri remote. I saw Power Beats
right
there.
But they're $50 off on Apple Store right now.
How about
so
that?
So instead of $250, it's $199.95. That's fine.
I do not recommend those.
They're still more expensive, even though they don't have ANC.
I think they're designed
to be
a
more ear loop thing, so I guess that's why some people like them.
Some people might like that, yeah.
They're
but
all
the case on the
cheaper. That is so funny.
The case on the Powerbeats Pro is trash. It's lightning too, and it only comes in one color.
Oh,
it doesn't match
charge,
the colors.
Right? Doesn't wirelessly charge?
No wireless charging. and it's huge. Whatever picture you're looking at, it's bigger than you think. Like when I saw it in person, it was such a brick in your pocket. It's something that has to go in like a gym bag.
It wasn't an engagement ring box. It was like a necklace ring box.
Exactly. Yeah. I couldn't make a better analogy.
That's true.
It's enormous. So I'm glad they improved on that front. And you know, the compromises make sense that they probably had to tone down the drivers and maybe not including the H1 allows them to save some money.
Yeah.
But I think there's a huge potential market for that, especially knowing how well AirPods did at 160.
Dude.
And these are 150.
Touch the window. I'd say leave your head exactly where it's at. It's the best you can.
150. So, you cannot get a better deal or better price or a better product for that price. And the people buy, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, but I feel people buy Beats as that status symbol, as that aesthetic, the way they campaigned and they used to market back in the day for celebrities and athletes and stuff like that. There's certain there's a certain brand association with Beats still, regardless if Apple owns them or not, that people like, because LeBron James will wear them, and now these will sell very well. That no doubt in my mind. If you're an Android user. Because I know we have a few, surprisingly, I don't know why, but we do have Android listeners here. And I tell you, with buy some aside, what'd you say?
What we tell you. You said, we tell you, and I said, go get an iPhone.
But if you're going to stick with your whatever you have, I promise you, with bias aside, that this is better than your Galaxy Buzz or anything else that you have. I've tried those. I've listened to it because I have friends who are in the Samsung ecosystem. It's like, can I try them? And there are things about that's cool. This, for its price, for its everything, get this. Because some people don't care. Some people don't care about the tech or the wireless charging or the whatever about the AirPods Pro. And that's fair. They're like, I don't want to spend $250. If $250 is over your budget, if $200 plus is too much for you, Beats. It's AirPods Pro. If you are willing to pay $250, but if that's too much for you or you don't like the design, if there's something that makes you, if you have not bought AirPods Pro yet for whatever reason, but you're in the market of something like that, Beats is the perfect substitute with. You acknowledging the compromise. The transparency still works. You're going to hear people in your surroundings fine. ANC still works just fine. I'm not saying they don't work, just AirPods Pro is better. And that feels intentional. And my conclusion of this review is that by using this, I've appreciated this more. I'm not going to keep the Beats because I do use transparency and ANC all the time, and I will continue. I haven't ditched it over the last couple of years yet, so I'm going to keep using these. But my thing for me is the tech. I care about the audio tech that comes with this, and understanding what iOS 15 is going to do with that for ear amplifying audio thing. I totally get now. Like before, it's like, what? You're just going to make it louder in your ear? I actually understand how the transparency brings in more data for your ear now, which is something I took for granted because I just didn't care the same way. But I do care when you have to compare it to something else. I'm not deaf like that, so that's not going to help me. But tech in this is so much better. I have to recommend AirPods Pro for people who care about the tech. And if $250 is fine. If you were holding off like, oh, I was thinking about AirPods Pro, but rumor has it AirPods is going to have a stemless version. Oh, it's Beats. Fine. $150, you're not gonna hurt for anything. But
So my guess is that for someone like me who's used AirPods Pro for almost 2 years now, if these were to die on me or the batteries were out, I should still wait or get AirPods Pro. I shouldn't compromise with Studio Buds.
If you do use your ANC or transparency, then stick with what you've already become acclimated to, because it is a step back.
I had a flight yesterday. I was using it. It's game changing. It is. I don't know how I ever flew without ANC.
Terribly.
It's like so nice.
Once you become acclimated to the good of the apple fruit, it is hard to revert back. People who have not used AirPods Pro like that or haven't used it in a long time, if you had AirPods Pro at one point and it's gone and for whatever reason you don't have it anymore and one day you picked up the Beats Studio Buds, you're not really going to notice the difference. You'll be like, hey, these are pretty good. And you're going to have a good experience. If you're going cold turkey like I did yesterday, AirPods Pro to Beats Buds, it is like, you're having frozen meal over something freshly cooked, it feels like.
I see.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd be very curious if you enjoy reviewing the headphones. I've never had the opportunity, but I'd love to try out the Beats Flex sometimes. I'll sometime. Try.
Just because it's $50. Solid gold?
Yeah. Yeah. No, their naming makes no sense. They call them Studio Buds, and they have not so great audio quality. And then the cheapest ones are called the Flex. I don't know why you would want to flex the cheap headphones. But yeah, they charge via USB-C. They come in four colors, and they still have a wire connecting the two, but they're not a wire to the phone. And for $50, I was like, I wonder how crappy they sound for $50. I bet there's a lot of value there.
I'm now curious about this stuff. I kind of want to start digging more into these headphones now to find the trade-offs and stuff like that. Because innately, there's nothing wrong with the Beats Studio Buds. They're a good product. For $150, and I didn't have anything else, I would absolutely get that. But the rest of the lineup leaves a lot to be desired from Beats, from what I remember. But I've the last Beats thing that I had before these Studio Buds, I listened to those Power Beats, and comparing the two, get the Beats Buds. Those things are the tech,
cheaper.
Tech is better. It's cheaper. And
case is smaller.
And
there's ANC.
I think it's more stylish. You can use it for working out as well at, you know, because people use Beats at the gym because they want to look like those athletes that are rocking it when they're doing the little rope thing like that and stuff like that. More power
Fitness
to you.
Plus.
Yeah. If you are inspired by that, more power to you. Get the Beats Buds. Those things are going to be extremely stylish.
Two headphones in a row now have made me appreciate AirPods Pro.
AirPods Pro is where it's at. I would recommend fork the extra $100, personally.
Mm. AirPods Max made me really appreciate AirPods Pro because I was like, I get so much of the same thing for less than half the price, and it's smaller, and I can wirelessly charge it and everything. And now we've had Studio Buds, and it's like, yeah, it's only $100, but it's also $100. You know, it can go both ways.
No, so the thing is that's a good point. $100 is, you could put that towards anything, or actually, you could put it just towards it, savings, your savings as well. Not everything has to be the premium tax of it. And $150 is that sweet spot, in my opinion, for true wireless earbuds. I think $150 is, it's in that right pocket where it makes the most financial sense. If I wasn't where I'm at in my life now, I would get Beats over the AirPods Pro as someone who just wants to listen to things and that and the other. Their style and design and trending, things like that, go a long way, and I think that's where Beats has always came in the front, where they are the best looking headphones without being the best quality of anything, but they look good. And we can all, you know, well, yeah, but you want to get it, but there's a certain, we all have a certain, you want to look good, the same reason watch bands, or even if people would argue Apple products for the same reasons, like that there's a design for it.
Aesthetics matter,
and they are the best aesthetically pleasing to the eye. They look good in the ear. The black, this makes me want black AirPods so bad.
Oh, I know.
I don't.
That would look so good.
I don't understand why you guys want colored AirPods so much. I feel like AirPods are so iconic in the white color, and every pair of white headphones you see out there is going to be Apple, unless it's some knockoff brand trying to look like Apple. And I do appreciate that about AirPods. I think even if they did come in black or red or Thanos purple, I'd probably still just get the white because, I don't know, I feel like it's classic, it's traditional. They've been using white headphones since 2001. And why change
They've been
now?
Using black bezels ever since 2008. It's an iconic look.
The reason, Nick, is the same reason why we don't have the illuminated Apple logo on MacBooks anymore. It doesn't need the brand recognition anymore. I like the space gray MacBook Air. That is a better...
It's actually because the display panel is so thin that if sun hit the back of the MacBook, it made the display... Oh. You saw that video.
Oh, I see. You saw that video, too. I see. We both watched that. So, iconic branding recognition aside, I think we're past that because we're not the only wireless earbuds in the market anymore. Mm. And that's not a bad thing. It paved the way to make a cheaper, better looking product like the Beats. It's not better tech, but aesthetically, it's looks alone. Mm. I'd say get the Beats.
I think Nick's reasoning is why Apple has stuck with white is because it is iconic and it kind of does its own marketing and it's recognizable. So I would request a compromise in the middle to keep the buds white, but let the case be a different color. I would take a black case with white AirPods on the inside.
Nah, no. See, I'm
not trying to sell you on it, Nick. Okay, I'm just saying I want... I know Nick wants his white everything, but his white bezels, his white AirPods,
his white iPhone.
AirPods it's Max, his pure, white iPhone.
It's just, and you can find these easily in the dark. I found this sometimes when I like lose my case. Just like stands out like a sore thumb in the middle of the
you
night.
You can
like,
find your Beats logo in the dark just fine.
Yeah. That's why we have the Find My app.
Speaking of, ever going to come? I'm like sitting here waiting for my AirPods to show up in the Find My thing, and it's not working.
Black case with a U1 chip.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Here's my compromise. Speaker. Make AirPods, the actual pods, black. I'm not even asking for a red. If you want to give the black, red, white treatment, cool. But
black is the next obvious.
Yeah. Give me black AirPods, and increase the price for whatever reason by $50, and I will still pay it.
I would do.
Because that's,
the white ones. That's the white ones are $250, and then the black ones are $300, and there's no spec differences.
Yeah, I would still do it because aesthetic matters.
Yeah. Wow.
Those are called AirPods Flex.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I paid the extra money. And those come with like a MagSafe puck instead of a lightning cable or something.
There you go.
You get a little bit more with it.
It's all wireless charging. So down.
Wonderful.
There you go.
They just took some hot glue and filled in the lightning port.
Some people were asking me about this on my pre-recorded videos that went up. I did not catch the Microsoft event. Did either of you watch it?
Oh, okay. I watched the whole thing live.
Okay, good. I'm glad one of us did. I was worried
did you watch
none
it,
of us
did.
I did not. I didn't need to. I had you
I watched
commentating
MKBHD.
The whole time.
I watched Marquez's video on it. So I feel like I got the gist of it.
Something else was going on that day which caught us. Like I feel like something in the news or something in life, it came out. Feels like something else important was happening, and I couldn't catch, and I don't know why. So I'm glad you got it, Nick.
Nothing was happening.
Yeah, I know there's a lot
and
of
that
Starship
was more
news that day, but I guess you probably weren't watching that as closely as I was. So I don't have as much to say about Windows 11 itself. The problem with this event is like we've had this leaked IPSW file or whatever for like months now, and people have made videos, articles. All of the details about Windows 11 have already been shown. Like, we have seen screenshots and video recordings and everything about Windows 11. So, going into this event, I was like, all right, surprise me. Like, I already know everything that you're about to talk about here. Like, literally, not just in the Apple way, we're like, yeah, we're pretty sure they're going to get MacBook Pros at the Apple event. And yeah, we're probably going to get 14-inch MacBook Pros. No, it's like, I know everything you're about to talk about here just because I scrolled on The Verge's article of what to expect, and it's just like bulleted points of everything. And so What I was really looking for was the production value. And obviously, as a camera lighting guy who enjoys a good production, I realized how good Apple has done virtual events over the past year. Just over a year ago, we had our first fully virtual Apple event at DubDub 2020. And those transitions between the speakers just blew my little mind. And the way that they used practical sets as opposed to just having Tim in his house, you know, with his bookshelf behind him and Craig and Johnny in his white room or wherever they live.
Good morning.
Yeah. They Apple did it really well. And I think I didn't realize how well they have been doing it until I watched this Microsoft event. This whole event has had almost a year of hype around it. The Windows 11 event, the Windows 11 event, the Windows 11 event. It was 30 minutes. Well,
the funniest thing to me is I remember very clearly when Windows 10 came out, they kept saying they would not do more operating systems. Mm-hmm. They kept saying the final Windows version. Every time they said that, I thought it was BS. I kept thinking, what are you talking about? You're just going to call it 10 forever? Of course you're going to do another one someday, or they're just going to brand it something else.
They tried so hard to copy Apple in that sense, too, because we had Mac OS 10 for over a decade. Well, almost two decades. We had Mac OS 10 for so long that they – and now aesthetically they're doing it like get off the of Apple's
– Which, and the glassy look, which I'm fine with, by the way.
It looks nice.
It looks clean. And that's because I loved iOS 7. I mean, they practically just took iOS 7, Command-C, Command-V. That was all.
We got to do the inverse of Marquez. We could be like, why Microsoft gets features later.
Something like that. All these devices.
There's a video idea right there.
But we have this whole year of build up towards this event, and it was only 30 minutes long. And I wasn't excited about it. Yeah, it was like 35 minutes.
I didn't know
start
that.
To finish. It was the shortest event ever. And there's just so much hype to this. And
that's
I have so many complaints about the event itself. Number one, they didn't hire a professional script writer. Like, Apple hires a team of like professional script writers. Their whole like storytelling department, I think,
Abrams.
Is what they call it. No, not
JJ
not like,
wrote Quadruple UDC.
He might have. I don't know this to be true. I didn't see him in the credits.
That's why it was disappointing.
But
Ryan Johnson directed the
They Last
April
Jedi dub this year.
The last iMac.
Yeah, but instead of having like a whole storytelling department that Apple literally has, this whole team of people whose job it is to tell the story of their product.
That's cool.
They didn't do that. It felt like some intern wrote the script here, or the presenters wrote their own script. It honestly felt like that, because one of the presenters, the Craig Federighi knockoff who handled most of the show, he was like, "This is where I grew up. Here is a picture of my parents' house. What I love about this house is that it is so familiar. Windows 10 is so familiar." And I'm just like, dude, this makes no sense. And it does not flow. And there was no transition between this is what really caught me between the Windows event and the Apple event. There was no transition between the speakers. Okay, the Craig knockoff finished his sentence, and then it was just jump cut to the next lady who was giving a demo, and she just started, and there was no like, and now we're gonna pass it off to Krista to give you all of the great new demos. It was just jump cut.
I learned that in business school, just how to do presentations. I spent a whole day learning how to introduce somebody. That was a focus point. It's like, so today, if we were to do it on a podcast, it's like, now, you guys know about Beats, and you've also heard me talk about AirPods Pro, but I have not been able to really dive into the lossless portion of these. But that's because I'm not utilizing such a product right now. But to help cover that transition, we're going to bring Nicholas Answeeney on here, who is currently rocking his newest headphones, to talk about that. Take it away, Nick.
Exactly. See? Thank you, Randy. First off, So the
our show
event,
always has flawless segues.
Yeah, 100% flawless segues.
I'm worried
about
the
Cybertruck.
Have you
seen the movie reviews podcast or the space podcast? Oh my gosh, I'm getting to see
I'm worried about the Cybertruck was a segue too, for
it
the
was.
Record.
It used to be. Now it's just a meme.
Now it's a meme.
But I didn't realize how important those 5 to 10 second transition shots at the Apple campus are. Like, honestly, it just like on a real stage event, you have Tim says, and we're going to bring up Debro Bryan to talk about our latest Apple stores. And then there's like the 5 to 10 seconds of applause as Tim walks off the stage and then Debro walks on. What? You guys are just losing it.
No, I love you, Nick. I'm just saying.
Aw, I love you too, Drew.
I love that when you review events, you don't talk about what they announced. You talk about
less
like
about Windows 11.
The keynote itself is what you cover, and I love that because no one does that, but you do, and I appreciate that because
we're original content right here,
Nick. I love like, those 10 seconds.
Yeah,
the transitions and the segues.
We take privacy very seriously.
Just jump cut from presenter to next presenter. There's like no breathing room. And with a real event, you have like the applause moment. You have that time where Tim walks off stage and Debra walks on. But at this event, it was just cut, cut. And it was like I couldn't breathe as an audience member. There was no transition. And that's so cool that Apple recognized that as a need. Back last year, though, the first virtual keynotes. And they put in that 5-10 second transition time that showed off the practicality. And that's my third biggest critique with this event. I care less about the products. They used a bunch of dumb green screens. They used the worst green screen keys I could ever imagine. One of them might have been a practical set. I couldn't quite tell, but the lighting didn't quite match, so that was throwing me off. But a lot of the other ones, especially the gaming lady, it was just the worst green screen ever. And I'm like, thank you, Apple, for using actual practical sets with practical lighting at the Apple Park that's so beautiful. Microsoft has a ton of beautiful locations.
So what do you think about Windows 11? Yeah, it looks cool. But anyway, so talking about this.
So the fourth thing that I didn't like about this. No. I'm out of things to talk about the event. Thank you for allowing me to rant.
My biggest concern, because most of the features I don't think any of us have many complaints with. You know, like the updated
Updates are supposed to be 40% faster and happen in the background. So
that's good.
Android is coming to Windows.
Android apps being able to run on Windows, I think, is kind of neat. But I felt like the one guy in the room going, I thought all Android apps kind of suck, and that's why people choose iPhone. But the Play Store is not the strongest argument. I guess it's not the Play Store, right? It's like through Amazon. It's the Amazon Android store that you can it felt like a tacked on thing. Either way, I don't think it's going to be utilized much. I was trying to think what's a big Android app people want to use on their PC.
TikTok. Actually, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like what applications do we use on macOS that we want it that is from iOS? I don't think I have an example.
I can think of is Instagram.
Final Cut. I want Final Cut to come to the iPad.
No, reversely, what's from iOS that you want on Mac? And honestly,
there's not much.
I don't think there's anything that because
Twitter.
I use Notes.
No, I use Twitter.
I use
the Twitter Mac app.
Everything that's docked on I have such a boring.
But
Mac.
Didn't we have the Windows Store anyway?
Yeah, but nobody. But the developers weren't writing for it because it was one more thing and they didn't really care. You had Skype, but that was done in house. You had.
It was also weird that they were fully endorsing Microsoft Teams over Skype.
Yeah.
I found that bizarre.
I used Teams a lot during the pandemic last year. And that was Apple's big... When we started moving over to OneDrive... Not OneDrive. Is it OneDrive? OneDrive.
Microsoft's cloud service?
Yeah, OneDrive.
Yeah.
It's OneDrive. Okay. So when we started using OneDrive, their biggest push was to show why it was better than Slack. From an enterprise perspective, Teams, they threw everything at Teams. There's nothing on Skype that you can get on that you couldn't get on Teams. But there's so much on Teams that you won't be able to get on Skype. And I see this as a way of possibly phasing out Skype in a way.
Really? Okay.
I
do agree there should be only one. I don't think Microsoft needs two different video and chat calling.
Teams got so good last year. Out of necessity because of the pandemic. It was It was a necessary push, and we on the government side were using not dated versions, because in that sense you can't use dated versions of something. It needs to be up to par. But we weren't using every feature that it was capable of for security purposes. But using it between small businesses, even you know how they sell their pack. We have Microsoft Office, and we have our Business Deluxe, and they had all these different packages. Even if you use it from a consumer's point, where hey, I want to talk to you guys on Teams, and we can do it this way, they have features there that even FaceTime is now trying to catch up to speed with. And Teams is way better than Skype. Skype's UI is intuitive because we know it. You click, do this, that, and there's more digging that you have to do in Teams, but I feel like that's always been a Microsoft problem when you're trying to navigate through the UI of Windows. There's more digging to get to it, but once you understand where you have to go, Teams is a way better application in every front of it, because you could do so much more.
I've never used it, but I believe you.
That was my one and only time of using it, and I was like, we absolutely should not be using Skype anymore.
Why aren't we funding this?
Why are we not funding it? Because Teams, the only thing Teams is like, Teams needs macOS on it, and that's the only way you can actually make it better.
You shouldn't make that joke when I'm drinking. That's dangerous.
I waited until you went like that to say it.
Yeah. Mike's iMac is going to be
Oh, darn, covered. Mike. It's bad. We got to get you a new one.
Hey, we got to get you a Mac Mini or something else.
There you go.
So we haven't talked about Windows in a while. And
for good reason.
For good reason. My experience with it. So I don't hate Android. I've used Android phones in the past, sometimes for pretty long periods, and I can get comfortable with it. I can get accustomed to it. I think it's a fine OS. I just think iOS is better.
Okay.
I hate Windows. Like, I'm saying I can tolerate Android. I can get comfortable with that. I used Windows for like years. Back before my super duper heavy Apple sheep days, I had a Windows PC that I bought from a friend, and it had all this great, powerful GPU and CPU for the time. Obviously, now it's crap. But at the time, it was pretty powerful for a lot cheaper than an iMac would be. And I'd been rocking the same 2011 iMac for many years. And I got it, and it was running Windows 7 at the time. This was pre-Windows 10. And Windows 8 was out, but everyone hated it. So I was like, okay, no 8. I'll just stick with 7. And there were all these great things being said about Windows 10. And I was using the Adobe Creative Cloud on there. It was exporting videos fast, and I was comfortable with it. And I was like, okay, Windows 7, it's a little weird, but it's not in the ecosystem, but I can live with it. It's fine. And I enjoyed the performance. Everyone kept saying Windows 10 is great. It's the best of both. You know, they fixed Windows 8. We like Windows 10 now. And I installed it, and it just broke everything. Like, applications stopped opening, games stopped working, and it just became so unreliable that I had to stop using it. Like, I was forced to, because there would literally be days where I'm like, I want to make a video now, and I would try to open Premiere, and it just flat out wouldn't open. Yeah. It's just like, I'd click on it, nothing, and I have to restart the whole thing. And I ran into driver corruption problems later down the road when I was like, okay, I'll have a Mac, but then I want to have a PC just for gaming stuff. Mm-hmm. And that PC would work fine, and I was streaming with it, I was playing games with it, and it was doing okay. And then it would get an update, and now all of the microphone inputs are like completely screwed up, so that I sound like the pitch of my voice was way lower.
Huh.
And I sounded like a monster. This was no setting. This was no, I didn't go into settings and say lower my pitch or anything. I was just using like a GeForce live streaming software, and because of an update it got, now the microphone is broken. And also, it got a different driver update, and then the webcam crashed the entire OS. And I'd used this webcam with my Mac several times. It was like an external one. And I used it with a PC for months, and it was working fine, and I was doing my streams. Gets an update. Now, anytime the webcam is accessed, the entire OS crashed. This is a whole separate PC from the one that I first bought in 2013 or whatever. So two separate PCs. I've ran into the Windows 10 is updating thing, and I would be like, okay, I want to do a live stream. So I would sit down, turn it on. Updates have to install before you can get, and it does the slow. So that's the one part of the MKBHD video where I was disagreeing, is he was like, Windows 8 sucked. Windows 10, though, is pretty good. I was like, no. I know several friends that refused to install Windows 10 because they kept running into third-party software issues and driver corruption and updates that were freezing everything. My buddy Ross was just telling me about the story he read that there was a cruise ship that had a bunch of toilet paper stored in a room. And they somehow there was a spark and the toilet paper caught on fire. And the sprinkler system did not go off because the software for the ship was going through a Windows 10 update at the time. And basically, there's also been times in sports, commentators. Remember when Microsoft was like sponsor? I think they still are the sponsor of like the
NFL or whatever.
NFL. Yeah. And they would be in the middle of trying to show their teams like their tactics or something. Yeah. And then it would go through an update unscheduled. Oh. Countless Windows 10 update things.
Sorry, I loved. There's one Super Bowl or something where all the commentators had like Surface Studios, and one lady had an iPad propped up in front of her Surface.
I saw that. I loved that so much. They were like required to use the Surface, but they were using it as an iPad stand, and I was like, "That is
that's the best of marketing.
That's the best marketing Apple could ever have is someone." Forced to use a Surface, and they put an iPad in front secretly. They're like, no, I don't want to use that. So I do not have good experience with Windows 10, and it has nothing to do with what they announced with Windows 10. You know, when they unveiled it and they announced it, it was all great. And it looked awesome, and it seemed like it would work fine. And then the execution was all botched. And I'm not saying Apple's innocent either. You know, Catalina was a dumpster fire. There was all kinds of problems with different versions of macOS that broke old stuff. And I'm not saying Apple's flawless and Microsoft is flawed, but I'm just saying it's a very difficult task to design an OS that goes across such a heavy range of devices. And the most interesting part of Windows 11 that I've seen so far is how little devices seem to be compatible with it. I'm looking at an article right now that's talking about how of the 25 Surface devices that Microsoft has shipped to date, only 13 are eligible for Windows 11. So the Surface Studio, my guilty pleasure, the one Microsoft hardware I kind of was tempted to get,
Will not
be compatible because apparently Windows 11 requires I don't know much about this, maybe you do, Nick, but it's called a TPM2 coprocessor. I believe it's a security type of chip. And basically, if you have any Surface device from 2017, it's not compatible.
Really?
And like the oldest.
I used to have a 2017 Surface Book.
You do?
I used to at my old job.
Oh, you used to?
Yeah.
The devices they listed that support Windows 11 are basically October of 2018 or later. That's the oldest I can find. The Surface Pro 6 is the oldest Surface Pro that I can see. Everything else, which is very bizarre because a lot of people, they ran this Windows 11 compatibility checker so people could check to see if their PC would support it. And there's a large number of people.
Wait. Do you have to have a piece of software to install to tell you if your hardware supports a piece of software?
I think.
Say that again. How on earth do Windows people work? This is so confusing.
There's a file from Microsoft or a program you can download that will check if you have the hardware.
Can you imagine and if there Apple were a lot of people download this app on your iPhone to see if your iPhone can get the new version of iOS 15.
They definitely wouldn't, but keep in mind Windows runs on like a million different hardware.
It's funny to think that they have to make a software to tell you if your computer can run software.
I agree. This is part of the problem when you make an open source platform like this. But the fact that it's basically requiring end of 2018 hardware or later, considering this is supposed to be like a desktop laptop OS. I mean, think about Mac OS running on. We were disappointed that Monterey was only going back to late 2015. Remember that?
Yeah.
We were talking after the keynote and we were like, wow, so if you have a MacBook Pro older than late 2015, it won't run Monterey. This is if you don't have a Surface older than end of 2018, you can't get
the next generation of Windows. So if it doesn't have that chip in it, then you can't even run Windows 11? Or if you have an older version of the chip, you can't run Windows 11?
I believe it's if you don't have that chip. I'm looking at the Windows 11 hardware requirements, and people are getting confused because there was another part of system requirements for Microsoft, I guess, that were saying it could be a TPM 1.5. I believe it's a security chip of some kind. And I also think Windows 11 is doing this 64-bit only thing, which Apple did with Catalina.
Just moving now to 64-bit only?
Just now.
Oh my gosh.
But it makes sense. You know, Microsoft's a much bigger ship. It's covering way more computers. So I get why they were slower to that. But a lot of people didn't like it when macOS made that change. It's just interesting.
When did macOS make that change?
I think it was 2 or 3 years ago with Catalina.
That recent? No.
I don't think it was that long ago. Yeah, I remember because I was doing text videos
4 years ago. Because I remember.
No.
I wasn't full-time. 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago.
Yeah, because people were really upset. There were a lot of people saying, this isn't going to let my third-party apps work if it requires 64-bit. Yeah. And the fact that Microsoft is now joining that club is like, wow, okay. So it's not just Apple. Now Microsoft's like, yeah, we should probably move on.
Wow.
Okay. But
Apple does it first.
Compatibility of Windows 11 is, I guess, what surprised me the most, is because typically Microsoft is the type to want to get as many devices. I remember them when Windows 10 first came out. They were like, this is going to be the biggest OS.
Yeah.
We're going to get this on as many devices as possible. And I could be wrong, but I believe they said stuff like anything that runs 7 can get 10. I might be misquoting that, but the fact that they're selling hardware now that will not run Windows 11.
That's crazy. The Surface Studio? That's bizarre to me. Like,
yeah. That probably says more about how little they've updated the Studio.
Yeah, well, maybe Studio will get an update then, you think?
I hope so, because it hasn't gotten one in like 4 years.
Nah.
And what's more likely is they're just going to scrap it because there's probably not enough people buying it. But I remember a lot of PC people saying the Surface Studio 2, even when it was brand new, the specs were not very good. It was basically a laptop connected to a really pretty display. Mm-hmm. And in the days of ARM architecture and Apple Silicon, I'm kind of like, that's fine. You know, give me something like M1 power, but with a giant canvas display that you can
really
touch and interact with.
24-inch iMac is what you're telling me.
No, I'm looking right at one. This is the webcam from one. And yeah, the fact that they haven't updated it yet makes me think they're probably not selling super well, and they're probably just going to scrap it entirely. But still, the fact that a Surface Pro 5 can't get Windows 11 is kind of shocking to me. That's just not in Microsoft's nature. But they want it to be more secure, and maybe Microsoft cares more about hardware sales now than they, because they're probably not, you know, selling Windows 11 for $100 a pop. I believe it's supposed to be free or something like that, but you'll just get the little activate Windows watermark across everything.
Well,
but,
and you won't be able to customize anything. Like, that's the big thing. Like, I don't think you'll be able to switch dark mode or anything like that, because they were all pitching that as customizability features. And I don't know. I've used
it just smells of paywall.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it definitely does. I've used plenty of unlicensed dual boot window things, and it works just fine. You know, just have this little activate Windows thing sometimes in the corner. But yeah, you can't customize anything. Which,
so I guess the way I see it is, it's surprising to me because Microsoft feels like they're making a lot of Apple moves.
Yeah,
it's like, we're going to require this hardware for security reasons, and we're going to make everyone switch to this 64-bit architecture, and we're going to center the dock, and we're going to let you run phone apps on the desktop, which Apple announced, I think, a year or two ago with iOS just being able to boot applications directly on the Mac. So I was like, this all feels bizarre that Microsoft's kind of going in that same direction, which, to be fair, I'm fine with. I like macOS. I want it on everything. And the fact that Windows 11 is becoming more macOS-like to me is like, okay, I hope the execution is good, because obviously I'm not going to know if Windows 11 is as stable or as bumpy as Windows 10 was for me, because I would have to buy a PC to try it out, and I don't think I want to. I don't think I'm interested enough to try that. Maybe you can hold me to the record on this. If they did another Surface Studio that had Windows 11 and had more power in it, and you know, you could use the Surface Pen with it and everything, and mm-hmm. you know, I'd be willing to mess around with that. Not like switch to it, but at least review it. Just buying a Surface Pro to try out Windows 11, I don't know. Maybe I'll see, but I'm very interested to see where this is going, because I still know people that refuse to update to Windows 10 because of all the problems it caused.
So. I would say Windows 10 has gotten better. And what I've noticed, they do this every time. And I guess you could say make the same case for Mac, but right when it's like, okay, now it's usable, new version. Oh, yep. It feels like that's like software every year too. But yeah. major updates like this, like Windows 7's been around now for years, and it's now at the point where it's up to par with other. I noticed it got better after Windows really started pushing their hardware thing and started doing the Apple thing. Then it's like, we're building this OS to fit our hardware. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. I encourage it, which is why I like, you know, the Apple ecosystem for the exact same reason. If you want to license it out to third party, have at it. But, you know, you're building it for what you would want to see it on your own stuff. Right. It started getting pretty efficient that way with battery management and all these just a plethora of little things that just made it better with how it ran. But this is exactly what happened with Windows 7 years ago. That was like, okay, this is a very good OS, and they're like, yeah, we're not supporting it anymore. And this force of, you are going to get Windows 10, we're not asking, you are we're forcing you to get it, was a problem. Yeah. that was
happening a lot. People were waking up with Windows 10. Yeah. Without
that asking. Was a problem this time around. It's almost like, well, not everything's gonna get it. And I'm almost more inclined to be like, okay, now the I'm being sarcastic here, but get the studio, the Mac, not the Mac, but the Windows Surface Studio now, because if that's not going to get Windows 7, you know that's going to run well now. And anything that's going to get Windows 11, my fear, just because it's historically shown to do it, is going to cause the same bricking that was happening with Windows 10. The same bricking that happened with Windows 8 was just messy. Windows 8 was the reason why I left Windows for good, and that was that was the thing. I
remember it not being around very long either.
Nope,
it was, but like, that was as soon all it as took. 8 came out, they were like, "Okay, 10's coming,
and we're bringing back the home thing."
In juxtaposition to Windows 8, Snow Leopard or Mountain Lion, one of the last lion themed ones prior to Mavericks coming out, had just came out, and I got on that and I was like, oh, this is amazing, this is smooth, it's fast, everything's bubbly. And this is back when they wanted it to look like you can touch it and interact with it with the UI, and I'm like, yeah, this is cool, this is just like my iPhone, blah, 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 blah. And that was all it took. Windows 8 was so bad that I never looked back. Because Windows 7 was so good. It's like, yeah, Windows is good. I like Windows. It does everything that I needed to. Is there better things on the Mac? Yeah, probably. I don't know. It looks fine, but, you know, whatever. And then Windows 10 comes around, and I'm like, ooh, let's take a look at it. Yeah, no, I'm staying over here. This is fine. But work forced me to continue to use Windows all these years, and I got to see it mature. But every time it's like good enough, I'm thinking, good, Windows 10 is the last Windows version. Now we just improve it. Now it's getting to a point where it's viable for the enterprise. It's viable for the world at large, outside of the United States as well. Everything right. about this OneDrive, Microsoft yeah. Office 365 was their big cloud thing. Everything about this was good, and it's seamless. They were taking the same things that we like about iCloud on our phone and our iPad, and it's like now you go onto the next device and all your stuff's just there. Yes, Microsoft, be good at this. Yeah, wait, there's another version coming out now? And then you see this over this U-Haul of the whole thing. And I'm thinking, okay, it's a skin update. Just be a skin update. But that's where things get the buggiest. We had yeah. it with iOS 7. We had yeah. it with I still have it with Big Sur. Catalina was
just... Was it Mojave that got the whole iOS 7 look on Mac?
No, wait, are you talking Yosemite. About when they made Yosemite. It flat? Yosemite yeah. Yeah, made Yosemite, it flat.
That's what it was.
Yeah, they made it very flat there. It got buggy. So every time it's just aesthetically changing, not necessarily under the hood stuff, it gets really buggy. And right.
That's and there's now, a lot more devices yeah. they got to cover.
Yeah.
So
clean up the lineup, Microsoft. That's the only way I think you could have as smooth of a transition as possible is you have to clean up the lineup. But... I don't know, man. I Windows has never been smooth in that sense. That's not why people use it. They're not looking for the warm and fuzzies. They just need it to work. But this feels like it's about to be even bumpier than Windows 10 without the force update. Thank God they're not doing that again. But
I hope not.
Well, I mean, the products, evidently, so many of them are not even going to be compatible of doing it. So... That's a good thing in my opinion. If like 2018 and newer, like okay, that might still, just how about from this point forward, every new device you start making is in prep of getting Windows 11, and that's how you.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. We're gonna release a new device that can't run.
But I'm saying, I'm talking with Windows products or Microsoft products. Just draw the line right there. New Surface Books, Surface. Pros, Surface Studio, new everything Surface is that point forward. This is what's getting Windows 11, and everything that you have right now is Windows 10. Mm-hmm.
I would say anything that doesn't run Windows 11, they should stop selling like immediately, yeah. or discontinue. Like it's or ridiculous update. To me. I'm looking at Microsoft's website right now, and they have the Surface Studio right there, and you can click it. And configure now, yeah, 3-2, 3-day business shipping and everything. And the fact that you're selling this for $3,500 and it's not going to get updates for 11 is just kind of, that's weird to me. I guess, you know, maybe a bunch of people don't like 11, so they're fine sticking with 10.
I see a lot all of the people better do to that, you. Especially Windows people. Like, you know,
yes,
you just get the OS that came with your computer and never, you know, upgrade. Like, we have computers, some of my family members have computers that shipped with Windows 8. They'll run on Windows 8 and yep. use them very frequently because they're old and slow and, you know, crappy Windows computers from 2015 or whenever that was. But you just don't update them. I don't know
yeah.
what the deal is, honestly.
Because they don't want them to break. I don't blame them. Like my friend Ross with the red, his dad is the one who worked on the Steve Jobs Theater, like the stairs, oh, yeah, like yeah, he's yeah. the architect. Uh-huh. And he uses a piece of software that's only on Windows, and it's still running like XP. And he uses that every day.
Wow.
Offline. It has no internet wow. access, and he just uses a 5K iMac for all of his basic stuff, email, Spotify, anything, YouTube, anything internet related, he uses that. But he keeps his PC around just for that program
wow.
because he paid for the software outright and the new software is going to charge him monthly.
Yeah.
So he just has Windows XP, uses it every day for work. And he's like, I will never let that thing connect to the internet because I know it'll instantly try to update to mm-hmm. something. So he just, it's offline thing. So I bet that's a lot of people.
We have computers like that in the government that are purposely on XP for a very specific reason that needs to stay mm-hmm. on, and that's that.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Well, I'm interested to see if the rollout goes any smoother, but Do you guys have any closing thoughts or last subjects you want to touch on?
Yeah, actually, I do. I didn't get to mention why exactly I didn't like the Windows event. It was also the color grading. No.
Oh, he's got more issues. The audio wasn't balanced at all.
It's not perfect.
One little Easter egg I'll float out there is I have not used my Magic Keyboard case for the past 2 weeks.
Ooh.
Ooh. Me neither. I'm turning the iPad into an iPad because I know that's all it can be.
That's all it can be.
The Magic Keyboard. I don't want to play with you anymore.
Pretty much.
It's a sad. Ever since I've accepted iPad's fate, I have doubled down on Mac, and I have never been happier.
I think I'm in the boat of I want to use my current iPad until it breaks or stops getting updates. I'm just going to long haul, hold on to it as long as possible, and I'm using it just with the folio cover, and it's not bad. I'm going back to the virtual keyboard, using just the touchscreen now, and I'm like, you know what? This ain't that bad.
Yeah. Are you selling the Magic Keyboard?
I wanted to see if I could get comfortable with the iPad for like a few weeks and then find out what happens next.
My iPad got its first little bend.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Just a little one. I think I stepped on it or something.
That's not good.
Yeah. Yikes. But I mean, I'm not upset because I've accepted the fate. That's where I'm getting at with this. Like, oh, it's a bend. Damn. Too bad.
Oh, well. Is it super noticeable?
No. I was cleaning it, and I looked. I was like, hey, wait a minute. Oh, no way. And I know exactly when it happened. It was in my backpack. Funny enough, in the part it's supposed to be protecting, because I have a little sleeve for it. But I had all this other stuff on it when I was driving cross country, and I'm confident the weight of the other stuff still morphed it. Even with the Magic Keyboard case.
Really?
Yeah.
That thing's heavy.
That's why I think it's not worse. It's bent. If you try to see it, you'll see it. Slight curvature. But I think it's only so slight because of the Magic Keyboard case. I'm like, wow, my $300 well spent.
The other reason I wanted to sell the keyboard case that I'm kind of incentivized to is I don't want to be restricted to that size.
Yeah.
Which I feel like every iPad purchase moving forward, I felt like I had to get the big one because of that keyboard case. And now I'm like, why don't I detach myself from that and sell it? So I feel like if I do get my iPad in the future, I could go with the 11-inch and just be comfortable with the move. I guess I'd have to get a new folio cover, but that's a lot cheaper than a new keyboard case.
Yeah. I think I'm in the same boat with you with that. I am.
You're making me do this, Apple.
Yeah,
you could have. You could have
improved iPad OS.
I'm not saying to never. I'm not saying to never. Never. I still need to draw certain things and utilize certain features. That's still a bit of a necessity for me. But it's no longer my. I went back to reverting to a default signature. I have on Mac OS for signing documents now that I use that instead of using the PDF on here or the
iPad as an iPad is fine. It does the basic stuff.
But that's all you are to me. I use it
because that's all it is. I'm like, I want to see how much I can back out on this.
Yeah,
iPad is a laptop. How much can I get away?
Yeah.
So what are the damages? And how long can I keep a 2018 Pro running? Because I still think that was a great buy for what it was. It was $1,000, and I'm still using it. And I've been making every video thumbnail on it.
Drew, watching tons of movies on it. Are you updating to iPad OS 15?
It's the first iPad OS I'm genuinely thinking I might not update it. I have not put the beta on it for intentional reasons. I could have, and I did not.
Yeah.
And I keep looking at the Today view with all my apps, and I'm just like, this is so nice. I don't want it to go away.
Same. It's perfect. That's it. If this is optimal iPad OS, move on without me, fashion. I'm staying here. I'm staying in 2020.
I just know the little settings red badge is gonna bug the crap out of me.
I know.
If when it comes out in the fall, it's just, like iPadOS 15.
Just move settings to a folder, hide it somewhere.
I know.
You can actually uninstall that. You can.
No, you can't uninstall settings.
Not settings. You can uninstall the download pending, because it's in a queue. And I remember going into
updates you can turn off. Yeah.
Yeah, but even when you get the red little badge, it's because now you're gonna go to this thing's downloaded, and if you go to iPad storage and you scroll down, you're gonna see a system update as taking up like half a gig or something. Just delete it, and then it gets rid of the red circle. Because I was using that a lot when I was jailbreaking like iOS 9 or something like that back in the day. Huh. I was like, I don't want to see that, so I got rid of it. And
there's also like very little features in iPadOS 15 I want to use.
The biggest feature is that it's almost unusable. Great
feature. Like I put it on the M1 iPad Pro and I used it for a while, and like nothing. It's like the multitasking is slightly different, but I didn't really find that to be a major.
Oh, then you got these three dots at anyway. The top that are just always there, and I hate
like
that.
All the apps I split screen. There's like five probably total, mm-hmm. and they're all in my dock. Mm-hmm. So I've never been in the situation where I'm like, oh, I need to split screen multitask another app that's not in my dock. Like it wasn't a common thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not like I'm literally thinking about even on launch day not getting iPadOS 15.
The problem isn't that it's not capable. It's that I have always been leaning into the iPad as for its next step of what it was going to be. Here's my closing thought. Jonathan Morrison put out a video sometime this past week where he titled it calling iPad M1 iPad is not a pro device or whatever, and it was almost a little bit clickbaity because he's visually showing you why it is, because he edits all his videos now on LumaFusion, and he's showing you all the things that's there for third party support within the applications and why this is a pro device for him to run his YouTube channel off of, make music. Now is his new thing. And my response to that, because God knows he listens to this, my response to that is that it's not that that's bad, but so many people leaning in, I feel, that were leaning into the iPad, especially in M1, mini LED, HDR, all that stuff, was to have the proper UI support. I'm not saying LumaFusion is bad, or that any third-party audio maker to compete with Logic is bad. But I am saying Final Cut and Logic are better, and that is almost objectively true about support. And that's something even Jonathan mentions in his video too. It's like it's getting really darn close. LumaFusion reached out to him and let him do some early tests on a new beta that's going to be even closer to bridging the gap of Final Cut. But there will always be a gap, and until
iPadOS makes a gap,
that's the gap. iPad is the gap for its OS. So these other devices, if your budget is $500 to work with, and maybe I'll get this. You're not going to get a Mac, an iPad, M1 iPad anyway. At this point, we're seeing how far we could push it at a budget level, and I appreciate that. Same reason why I do all my album covers with shot on iPhone. I love that mentality. But what I'm saying is, when it comes to true work, if you want to run everything off of this split screen BS, does not work. This iPad OS UI does not work. Final Cut and Logic are better, objectively. And until you could do streaming and have Logic and or Final Cut and have the chat open and do everything that we do for our own stuff, and I am being hyper-specific at this point, but until you could do that, then we can have that conversation. Other people will say, until I can code and make apps for the iPad on iPad, then it will be good enough. So people have their own metrics of what they're basing off of, but objectively,
Mac OS
is better.
Yeah, there's all these.
So for those reasons, it's
never-ending list.
You could show me why it's good in its current form, but its current form is no longer it. it is still codependent on something. It has to be.
And it hasn't changed much. Like, all the stuff you can do with it now, you could have done 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Just a little bit longer. Because of the chip being older,
yeah,
you have to buy some other lightning adapter. But for the most part, like, LumaFusion was around. You could still do some basic video.
You were
video
the first
editing.
LumaFusion person I knew that you were promoting it back in 17, 16.
Like, yeah, it was way back then. And it was like, yeah, you can do some basic stuff. We're just expecting that by 2021, we could do a little bit more than basics. You know, yeah. If we're going to be charging $2,000, $3,000 for these things, that they should be on enterprise level. They shouldn't be like, you can do it. You just have to buy this camera, and you have to use this card, and you have to use this file, and you got to use this.
iPad OS is iPad's greatest weakness.
It is. So yep. I'm just going to try to put the iPad in its place in my ecosystem to where I'm not expecting it to be more than an iPad, and that involves not getting a new one. That involves not being married to the Magic Keyboard case and feeling free so that if there is a new iPad update, maybe next year we get OLED or on both sizes, not just one, then I can feel comfortable getting an 11-inch because that'll probably be much cheaper. Sure. And I've toyed around. My friend that I visited in Washington had a 11-inch 2020 iPad Pro, and I was toying around with it, and I was like, this is a good size.
It is.
I like it. So
when you just use it as an iPad without the case, this 12 inches is kind of unwieldy. Like, I don't know.
It's kind of big. Yeah. My wife. That's the 2018 one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing to worry about.
Who cares?
Yeah. Chuck that thing. Craig Nick, Peter Nick's Reedy, gonna Nick.
I'm worried that I dented my wooden desk, not that I dented the iPad.
That'd be funny if it fell and just stuck.
It's a legit dent in the desk now, so. Yay.
It's like Randy's desk.
I don't want to talk about that too soon. It's right here.
Too soon. Alrighty. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for joining us.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.